For the message today, let's turn together in your New Testament to the book of Acts, chapter number 24. Acts 24, and we're going to look at one verse, verse number 16. Acts 24:16, and share a message about considering our conscience. Considering our conscience. And Paul had a lot to say about that. He just kind of summed it up here in this verse, Acts 24 and verse 16. He said this, "And herein do I exercise myself." Now, we hear a lot about exercising today, don't we, to be healthy and fit and all this kind of stuff. We ought to be more concerned about spiritual health and spiritual exercise and spiritual fitness than physical anytime, because the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little, but spiritual exercise profiteth a lot. So Paul says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Have you ever heard anybody say, maybe you've said it, "What in the world is wrong with that person? Why did he or she do the things they did? Or why are they living like they are? They must not even have a conscience." I beg to differ with you. Everybody has a conscience. It doesn't matter who you are, saved or lost. You've got a conscience. A conscience is one of two things to us. It's either a goad that prods us, or it's a guide that leads us. Our consciences either accuse us, or they might excuse us. But we all possess a conscience because God gave it to us. Our conscience might tell us, "You need to stop doing this," or "You need to stop living like this." Or your conscience may tell you, "You need to keep on doing this," or "You need to keep on doing that." You need to keep on living like this or living like that. Our conscience is that thing inside us that either judges us or sometimes it judges other people. Our conscience does. Our conscience is part human, part divine. It's that medium that God puts in every single one of us through which God wants to speak to us. He speaks to us through our conscience. Now, please just don't misunderstand me. Your conscience is not the voice of God. It's through which God speaks to us. Our consciences are always limited. And I'll tell you why. They're limited because a lot of times our lack of knowledge of things or the lack of spiritual light that we might have in our lives. Well, I don't have the ability, nor if I did, do I have the time to share all the things about the different kinds of consciences. But I think there are four kinds of consciences that I want to share with you, as I'm sure Paul was really particularly careful in his life to maintain the right kind of conscience, he said, that I might, he says, also have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. There's at least four different kinds of consciences that I want to share with you today. The first kind of a conscience is a restless conscience. Restless. Paul, the apostle, actually confronted his own restless conscience on the road to Damascus, if you remember. As a bright light from God shone down and Paul fell from his beast, and Jesus spoke to Paul and he said, "Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it?" Paul's conscience had already begun to goad him, if you will, and prick him, and Paul knew that he was wrong. And Paul said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Paul found out right quickly on the road to Damascus that he had a restless conscience. You know, a restless conscience is readily seen in people's lives. You can't hide that. If I'm wrong, my conscience is going to show, and you're going to know it. And if you're wrong, your conscience is going to show, and we're all going to know it. So you see, you can't hide a restless conscience, can you? Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about, the scriptures to back us up. Just an example or two. All the way back in the book of Genesis, you remember Joseph. And his brothers sold him into slavery, assuming they would never see him again. But alas, they meet Joseph's 20 years later in Egypt. And Joseph is now the prime minister of all Egypt, taking care of all the food distribution throughout all the world in that time. And his brothers have to come down to buy corn for the family. And Joseph speaks roughly, the Bible says, to them. And they begin to be terrified, and they went back another time and had to meet with Joseph. And to make the story short, Joseph went out of the room, turned his back on his brothers, went out of the room and shut the door. And here's what the brothers said. How we remember what we did, what sin we committed against our brother those years ago. Peradventure, God's going to pay us back for what we did. Let me ask you something. What made Joseph's brothers remember a sin they had committed over 20-some years ago? I'll tell you what it was. It was a restless conscience. What makes people remember deeds they've done, sins they've committed years and years and years ago, and now it's all of a sudden right back in their face? It's a restless conscience. Let me give you another example of a restless, uneasy conscience. You remember the story of Daniel? I know that most of us do. How he was committed to the den of lions, not the lion's den. You can go to a lion's den, nobody be at home. But if you're thrown into a den of lions, somebody's there besides you. He was thrown in the den of lions, and the night that Daniel spent in the den of lions, old King Darius couldn't sleep. He was just weary, restless, worried about Daniel. Where did it come from? A restless conscience. All the while, Daniel had the best night's rest he had probably ever had in the den of lions. And old King Darius just couldn't rest, couldn't sleep. Restless conscience. Let me cite you one more. I could cite many more. Let's just cite you one more. Old King Herod in the New Testament, when he heard about Jesus preaching and teaching and going about, you know, doing wonderful things, here's what he said. It's got to be John the Baptist resurrected from the dead. I had John the Baptist killed. I had John the Baptist beheaded. Why was he so restless? His conscience had come in his face and brought up the matter right before him. Well, I said earlier, our consciences either accuse us or they excuse us, don't they? Let me ask you something today. What's your conscience saying to you today? What are you hearing from your conscience today? Is it accusing you or excusing you? Is it leading you, guiding you, or pricking you as it did Paul? You see, your conscience can either be a bloodhound or a watchdog, either one. So there's restless consciences, but there's another kind of conscience. I'm going to call it the responsive conscience. The one that hears God speak through through your conscience. And like Isaiah in chapter 6 of old, Isaiah said, "Here am I." Responsive to God speaking to him through his conscience. You know, beloved, our consciences should be so in tune with our God and through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God that even the very scent of evil that's out there, devil trying to lay a trap for us, we ought to immediately turn to God and pray for forgiveness or deliverance, whichever it is you need in your life. In another passage, Isaiah wrote, and he said this, "And thine ears shall hear a voice behind thee saying, this is the way, walk in it." Don't you suppose that was the word of God through the conscience? This is the way, walk in it. When should you walk in it? Right now. Don't turn to the left and don't turn to the right. Walk in that way right now. Beloved, listen to me. If you ever want forgiveness of your sin, if you ever want deliverance in your life, you're going to have a responsive conscience to the voice of God. You're never going to get to a place, any of us, where you don't commit sin. If you think you do, then you better get back to Calvary again and get a re-evaluation of whether you know the Lord or not. You're never going to live to the place where you won't sin. But listen, here's a good thing about it. You're never also going to live at a place in your life where you can't get forgiveness of sin. If we'll just claim 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, our Lord can change a restless conscience into a responsive conscience, can He? But there's a third kind of conscience I want you to look at with me. I'm going to call it a rejected conscience. Is it possible to reject your own conscience? Sure it is. Your conscience can get so defiled and so disobedient to the Lord and just become about to the point of being seared, the Bible says. You can disregard your conscience all that you plan to, but you dull your conscience to hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, something's going to happen to you desperately wrong. Let me tell you a little story. This story is a true story, by the way. It came from an old Canadian Indian. Somebody asked him if he could to describe what his conscience was like. He said, "I'll try." He said, "My conscience is like a little pieces of tin on a wheel. They have sharp points." He said, "It's in my life." And he said, "As those little pieces of tin turn around and around and around in my life, they cut me and it hurts. But," he said, "if I disregard that little wheel turning in my life," he said, "after a while, those little sharp points on that little wheel kind of get rounded and I don't notice it anymore." Pretty good illustration. Maybe a little crude, but nonetheless, there's a great truth in it, isn't there? Listen. That's the reason God spoke to Israel. And He said, "You have ears, but you don't hear. You have eyes, but you don't see." Now listen, we know they had literal physical ears they could hear. And we know they had physical literal eyes they could see. They had an opportunity to hear, but they chose not to hear. They had an opportunity to see spiritually, and they chose not to see spiritually. So the penalty for not hearing and the penalty for not seeing is the fact that you can't hear and you won't hear and you won't see. Listen. Rejected conscience. Well, you can have your conscience seared that you can't hear. Can't see. So dull before God. There's people today in churches who have maybe heard or would hear 1,000 sermons, and not a one of them would move them in any way. It's always for somebody else. It's always somebody else's sin. Nothing a preacher sometimes can say can affect, and they will not move, they will not hear. Why is that? They've rejected the voice of God through their conscience. Amen. It's become so dull and disobedient and seared. Sermons seem powerless to them. Doesn't make any difference whatsoever. Doesn't touch their lives. There are people like that living today. Things that used to bother them about sin no longer bothers them anymore. Things 40 years ago you wouldn't dare do or think to do, people are doing it today, thinking nothing whatsoever about it. Why is that? Their conscience has been rejected, the voice of God through their conscience. They're not hearing, they're not seeing. That hurts God. Because God wants to speak to us through our conscience. It not only hurts God, it hurts us. And it hurts other people. When our consciences are rejected, we may lead somebody else in the wrong way. If your conscience, if God doesn't speak to you through your conscience, as He once did, I want you to listen closely at my last point. I said there are restless consciences, there are responsive consciences, there are rejected consciences, But there's a fourth kind of conscience. Praise God. There's a restored conscience. Now listen, every single one of us under the sound of this voice can have a restored conscience. Do you know why I say that? Turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews and look in chapter 9 and look at verse 14. I'm just going to quote part of it to you. Hebrews 9:14 says this, "How much more doth the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse your conscience?" Did you hear God's word? The blood of Jesus Christ can and will cleanse your conscience if you'll obey Him and listen to Him. We need to be sure, listen to me carefully, you need to be sure that our spiritual loss of sight and our spiritual deafness does not have to go on like this. It can be corrected, and it will be corrected if we'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Is your spiritual sight dimming? Is your spiritual hearing dissipating? What about the voice of God in your life? There was a time, wasn't there, when God spoke to you through the wind and through the fire. And now you don't hardly ever hear the voice of God anymore. The voice of God seems so far away and so faint that you can barely hear the voice of God. The Bible says God was not in the wind. God was not in the fire. God was not in the earthquake, but in a still, small voice. God spoke, and Elijah heard God. Maybe it's time that we begin to sit still and be still and know that I'm God. How long has it been since your conscience has been stirred by the Holy Ghost and you heard the voice of God and you saw the will of God for your life? Listen, you can hear what thus saith the Lord. You can see what the will of God is for your life through the Word of God. You can see more and you can hear more. If we listen more, we're going to hear more and we're going to see more. Then we too can pray like Isaiah. And we can pray like Paul and say, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Every single one of us can have a pure, a cleansed, a restored, a vigorous, and a healthy conscience if we'll only hear and see. Now here's my invitation. Is God speaking to you? Do you hear the voice of God? Even if it's a faint voice of God. Some folks hear so faintly the Word of God that they're just so frightened that God's never going to speak to them again. Well, He could choose to do that, but I'd say He probably won't. But if you even hear the faint voice of God speaking to you today, we need to be like Isaiah and say, "Lord, here am I." We need to be like the Apostle Paul and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do? I want a conscience that's restored. I want a conscience that's responsive. I can't afford a restless conscience, and I sure can't afford a rejected conscience, neither can you." If God's speaking to you even faintly, thank God that He is, and respond to Him today. Maybe God's spoken to you about giving your heart to Jesus. If He has, now's the time. This is a place. Maybe God's spoken to you about something else in your life, whatever it may be. Even faintly, if God's mentioned it through your conscience, it's because God loves you. He wants to restore your conscience and make it responsive to Him. And that's what we need, isn't it? So today, as we prepare for the invitation, Sister Pam comes and Sister Amanda comes, we prepare to sing whatever invitation hymn she's chosen. The Spirit of God Himself has already been through the very pews of this congregation. If he's spoken to you, you know it. He doesn't speak to you to tell me about my conscience. He speaks to me about my conscience. If he's spoken to you, then you need to respond to him. Because if we don't, here's what's going to happen. We're going to get more deaf spiritually, and we're going to hear more faintly and more faintly and more faintly. We can live like we want to and don't seem to bother us anymore. Or we can stop looking spiritually at the very truth of God's Word. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to you. So as we today stand together, if the Spirit of God spoke into your heart about whatever matter it may be in your life, you need to respond now. While the Lord speaks, respond now, won't you?